Author of the Week, sponsored by ABC Books on North Glenstone. Always love when we do have an author in studio. Dr. Kurt Bravada is with us, and he's board certified in addiction medicine. One of the things we're going to talk about is a addiction recovery program that is in the area, something I know that you're very instrumental in. But your book, of course, being author of the week, nice little fit, Live Free or Diet. Well, for, give us your back. Are you from the area?
Yeah, hi, Nick.
Who are you?
Yeah, so my name is Dr. Kurt Bravada. So I am a family physician, so board certified in family medicine and also in addiction medicine. I'm originally from upstate New York, so a rural community.
Okay.
My family was originally from the suburbs of New York City, the Long Island area. And 2013, I moved to Bolivar, Missouri to take a job at Citizens Memorial Healthcare in family medicine.
People, when they think of New York, they think of the New York City culture as opposed to the other outlying areas. But was it much of a cultural difference to Bolivar from where you were?
Not since I had grown up in the country. So,
got it.
Yes, but I also experienced the city.
Sure.
My residency was in the Bronx.
Oh, and okay.
Right adjacent to Yankee Stadium, and definitely had that inner city experience. And it taught me a lot about you know, addictions, and that's kind of where I got my start in addiction recovery. And when I came to Missouri and started in family practice, had quite a few patients that were needing addiction recovery care, and CMH did not have an addiction recovery program at the time, so I helped to get that started.
Well, and you mentioned that the hospital there in Bolivar, and our last hour, Christy Fulnecki, her husband, I think you know him or worked with him.
Yes, I know Eric.
Greg. Yeah,
yes.
Eric. So I don't know if you, did you guys see each other? Or do you know Christy? Had you ever met her before?
So yes, I've met Christy a couple of times. We don't really hang out socially, but Eric,
it's probably best
seen,
for you.
I do get to hear her on the radio quite often. And Eric, we cross paths at work quite often.
All right. So tell us about the book.
Yeah. So, so Live Free or Diet, A Holistic Guide to Finding Faith, Freedom, and Abundant Life was published through Westbow Press in February of this year. And so it's a compilation of essays and various things, health tips, life hacks, things that I've learned over 40 plus years of life that I felt like as a family physician, as addiction recovery specialist, you know, you have these kind of standard 15-minute visits, and there's a lot that you would like to share with your patients that don't just kind of come out during the typical flow of conversation with a patient. And I try to work those things in, but there's so much that you would like to share that you can't do in that 15-minute visit. So I put those things into a book, and I also wanted to inspire people and share my faith and help people live better lives and also bring them closer to God.
So I was, the question, who is the book for? Probably, well, anybody, but is there, I mean, just people that are looking, you know, me, I'm not the healthiest guy, but I'm also not somebody that really has any sort of real anti-health addictions where there are people who do. I mean, is there a particular category of person?
So I wanted it to be able to appeal to just about anybody. Okay. And so, and these are just not just for patients. These are also for physicians, for other healthcare professionals, people that kind of, you know, have been wanting to explore the holistic health space and kind of weren't sure where to get started. I kind of refer to the book as like a buffet. You can kind of just pick and choose what's helpful for you in that book. It has, you know, things from like, you know, philosophy and psychiatry all the way to like metaphysics and spirituality. And then just like your basic health and wellness, diet and exercise, how to pray, you know. So if you also, you know, aren't sure what you believe spiritually, but, you know, you want to read a book that's not like super preachy, but at the same time is not afraid to share what my faith is. I'm a Christian and I share my faith in the book.
Is that something, okay, the relationship between your faith and the subject matter of health, for example, is that something that you always knew existed, or was that something as you learned more about health as a doctor that you saw oh my gosh, these things mesh. Does that make sense?
Yeah. So I was raised Christian. Mm-hmm. My parents were involved in ministry. My mom was also a nurse. My dad was a restaurant owner, business owner, and then got involved in ministry. And so I kind of had that as I was growing up, and I had really good influences in my life, people that were spiritual leaders that, you know, when I went to a Christian college, Christian school before that. So I did have that. But when I went to, you know, medical school and kind of you start just like really inundating yourself mm-hmm. in the sciences, immersing yourself, you start to kind of think, well, maybe this is a great place of stability where, you know, mm-hmm. you just trust the facts, you know.
Yeah.
And as I've gone on in life, I've kind of come to the conclusion that without spirituality, mm-hmm. Without a sense of who you are as a spiritual individual, you really don't have anything. And so that is really should be the core. And then your health should spring from that.
We're talking with our author of the week, Dr. Kurt Bravada. And so I want to ask this question. Do you find – well, I mean – this is something as I have gotten older, I have found myself thinking, and I'd be curious if you have also thought this, that there were a lot of things as a Christian myself and a person raised a Christian, there were, you know, these, you learn about how to live Christ-like, and oftentimes people just see Christianity as, well, rules, and because God told you, that's why, because he's God. Mm-hmm. And as I get older, I oftentimes find that there are segments of the population that will really spend a lot of time and effort trying to figure out problems. And I realize, you know, actually the answers exist. If you just lived your life like this, these problems solve themselves mm-hmm. to a large degree. Have you found that?
Yeah, and there's a lot of core principles mm-hmm. that kind of you know, carry through, you know, multiple religions where people have kind of discovered what really does work. But yeah, as a Christian, I definitely, you know, I put that in my book. But one thing I do say about, you know, in my book is I really try not to be prescriptive.
Sure.
But I try to provide the information that right. people can say, wow, this actually makes sense. And so I provide like a logical basis for those things and mm-hmm, try to help mm-hmm. people see that, you know, if you kind of live in this holistic way,
right.
your life will you'll have the abundant life. Your life will improve.
Now, people hear the word holistic a lot. Mm-hmm. I think some people may not really actually know what it means or wonder if there's different interpretations of it. What's your definition of holistic?
So it's body, mind, and mm-hmm. spirit. So we're addressing the whole body, mind, spirit paradigm. So basically you are a spirit, you have a soul, and you live in a body. And so that's what the whole holistic mindset is, and understanding that we need to address those three core facets of who a person is. And if you don't understand that about yourself, you really can't live a full life that addresses all the facets of who you are as an individual.
You mentioned that, if I understood correctly, part of the motivation for this book is that because you have a limited time with patients, there mm-hmm. are a lot of things that you just don't have time to share. And while I think oftentimes it's clickbait, I'll see these different articles and, you know, this physician says that here are five things that he would never do, or – and sometimes they are interesting. They work on me. Oftentimes I click on them. Are there – certain top of mind things in terms of people's behavior that, you know, whether it's diet or exercise or state of mind that you see consistently that you think, okay, that, you know, more than anything, if I had the time, here's what I would tell them that they're doing wrong, or if that makes
right.
sense.
So I would say that, we're too busy, we're too distracted, we're mm-hmm. too stressed, you know, and so you need to find time to just to be alone, to be quiet. There's so much noise out there, right? You need to take time to pray, time to meditate. You know, with our diet, so much processed foods, you know, we eat a very inflammatory diet, so we need to mm-hmm. really be reducing those inflammatory processed foods in our diet. You know, more high protein, less carbs, really avoiding high fructose corn syrup. We're even finding that seed oils are inflammatory. You know,
right.
some of these artificial sweeteners, and kind of getting back more to a whole foods diet. And then as far as exercise, just finding time to exercise. And you don't necessarily, I mean, it's important and helpful to have an exercise regimen, but really just making small choices like using the stairs instead of using the elevator. You know, you can run to the, you know, the end of the driveway and run back. A sprint is actually really helpful, and it builds that, you know, those larger muscles, which also in turn burn fat. You know, trying to reduce that abdominal fat, because we know that visceral fat can lead to insulin resistance and prediabetes and diabetes and heart disease. And so making those choices, realizing that we need to do things that are really helpful for our mind and then in turn helpful for our bodies.
I'm not one that is constantly on a daily basis following the new science, if you will, of things. But in the past couple of years, it seems as if to me, there have been two things that I'm like, where did that come from all of a sudden? One, you mentioned seed oils. Mm-hmm. I'm like, one day it's like everyone just knows seed oils are bad. Stay away from it. When did that happen all of a sudden? And then beef tallow is the other thing. Like all of a sudden beef tallow, it's like eat it whole. Use your and like when did that happen?
I know. And you can use it on your face.
I know
everything. You can use it as
I'm like, I don't even know what this is, but everyone's using it for, I mean, Steak and Shake. I've seen banners Steak and Shake puts out, like, or billboards, beef tallow fries, and that just seemed to boom all of a sudden.
Well, it's kind of like that we had this mindset that, you know, synthetic was better, you know, and kind of artificial, somehow like artificial, like we could create it better than God created it.
Yeah.
And we're kind of learning that, you know, so natural fats actually, or even animal fats are not as fearful as we once thought. And we're finding that actually the seed oils tend to be more inflammatory. And, you know, here we are sweetening things with high fructose corn syrup, which, you know, creates visceral fat and inflammation.
Why is it we get so many of these things wrong?
I think there's a big money aspect to it. People are making money off of products.
Right, Dr. Kurt Bravada with us. He is a author of the week, sponsored by ABC Books on North Glenstone, Live Free or Die. Going to take a quick break, and then I want to talk about this recovery center, addiction recovery center aspect of things coming up here in just a couple of moments. I'm Nick Reed. Author of the week, Dr. Kurt Bravada, Live Free or Diet, sponsored by ABC Books on North Glenstone. All right, so you are also board certified in addiction medicine, and there is the Citizens Memorial Healthcare Addiction Recovery Program in Bolivar, of which you are a founder and medical director, obviously important to you. So tell us about that.
Yeah, so I co-founded the CMH Addiction Recovery Program in 2018, along with a nurse practitioner, Kelly Watson. We started with about 30 patients, and we now are seeing 200 to 300 patients a month. And so we treat all kinds of addictions. Yeah. We see about 30% of our patients are alcoholic patients. Another 30% are opioid dependent. About 20% are methamphetamine abusers, and then the rest are kind of either a combination, you know, or some other substance. We use medication assisted treatment. We also provide counseling and peer recovery. We have another nurse practitioner, Courtney Brummel, who goes to satellite clinics within the CMH organization to make sure that we're getting services throughout our community. We have a counselor, Justin Johns, have a peer recovery specialist, Christy Knickerbocker. And so we do have a well-rounded program, and we just love seeing these patients recover. It's very rewarding. You know, in other fields of healthcare, you don't necessarily see as quick a turnaround. It's amazing how you can see that in the addiction recovery space.
Addiction, obviously, the cost, financial and emotional, and just in terms of what it does to families, is so massively huge. And there are so many different types of addiction as well, some that are very niche almost, if you will, and then some broader. I mean, you mentioned alcoholism being one that you all deal with a lot. I know there's not a standard approach, but the way that you all deal with it, is it, I don't know the best way to ask. Like, how do you do it, I guess, is what I'm trying to say.
Right, right. So we have a conversation with the patients, and we see what their needs are. We're not, like, you know, 100%, like, everyone has to be on medication. If you don't want to be on a medication, you don't have to be. And we don't only use, like, opioid replacement therapy, like, with, you know, buprenorphine. We also use naltrexone. We use the injectable form Vivitrol, which is an opioid receptor blocker that also works for alcohol. And it's not a psychotropic med, so a lot of patients do like that. For someone who's really a heavy opioid-dependent patient and really has fear of withdrawal or has had a bad experience with withdrawal, they may have difficulty getting off of their opioids, and putting them on an opioid replacement therapy is kind of a stopgap measure. And we don't arbitrarily, like, just discontinue their medication at some, you know, defined time in the future. We say, like, let's work with you to get you to a place where if you do want to come off of it, we can help you. And then, you know, if you're on opioid replacement therapy, we might switch you to naltrexone, you know. And we use a combination of other psychiatric medications to help patients who are dealing with anxiety and depression and insomnia, you know, restless leg syndrome, you know, muscle spasms. You kind of have to look at the whole picture and see what they're struggling with and see how we can help them. And then, of course, you need the behavioral health component where they're getting counseling and peer recovery.
And it's also my understanding that while so many of those different options that you mentioned are to assist people in their journey to get off addiction, there may be also some instances in which a person trying to just stop on their own can actually be dangerous, depending on substances. So that, so, and I think, like, when it comes to smoking, and a lot of people, I'm just going to go cold turkey, I can do it. But there are some people should not try on their own.
So, yeah. So alcohol and benzodiazepine withdrawal can be dangerous because they can cause seizures, right? Opioid withdrawal, you'll feel like you're dying, but you probably won't die.
Oh,
you know,
okay.
So, but there's this definitely like fear of death that people have when they're coming off of opioids. And so that can be an obstacle to them getting off of that substance.
All right, people who are listening and maybe they are thinking, well, I could use this service, or I know someone who could, and, oh, we've tried to get in here or there, or we can't, or we don't know what to do. What if they're interested in learning about whether or not there is help at this clinic for them, what do they need to do?
Yeah, so if you go online and you search CMH or Centers for Mental Health Care Addiction Recovery Program, it pops right up. We're located in the Butterfield Clinic, which is adjacent to the hospital. If you're facing the main hospital, it's directly to the right of the hospital, and they're doing a lot of construction there, but our clinic is easily accessible. We don't turn anyone away. You don't have to be sober to be seen. We just do ask that, you know, you don't be belligerent and misbehaving in the office.
Yeah.
But we are an outpatient program. Of course, if you're in alcohol withdrawal, pretty much any hospital will see you for alcohol withdrawal. So we do outpatient detox. We do have some funds through grants. My wife, Christina, is the director of the grants program and also helped co-found our program. So we do provide grants for patients who don't have insurance or in between insurance, or if there's a medication that's not covered by their insurance, we can provide some resources for them. We also can help get patients into sober living. You know, these are not programs that, you know, are homes that we own, but people that we collaborate with. And we do work with the community. We work with people in Springfield and the surrounding area to help patients get the best holistic care that they need.
All right. Our author of the week, sponsored by ABC Books on North Glenstone, Dr. Kurt Bravada, the book Live Free or Diet. Really great to meet you. I appreciate you coming in this morning.
My pleasure. Thank you.
You bet. Springfield's Talk 104.1. I'm Nick Reed.